Today on The Grave Talks, Ghost Theories, part two of our conversation with Kent J. Wolfe. At some point while you lived there, when was it that you kind of became a believer and not so much a skeptic?
When we saw the little boy. The girls were outside playing. It was a nice, beautiful day. It was during the middle of the day, weekend, Saturday or Sunday. The girls were outside playing and with buckwheat, and they were running around the house. Maureen was doing the dishes. And I walked into the dining room, and I heard somebody running across my bedroom. So I went into the living room to listen, and I could hear him running, you know, from my bedroom. And then through the, when you get to the upstairs, it's about an 8 foot by 10 foot landing area that we used to have the kids' toys in. And so my bedroom was on the left and Ray's bedroom was on the right when he went upstairs. So it was running from my bedroom through the landing into Ray's room. So I thought, well, what the heck? So I went back in the dining room and I saw the girls running by the front windows. They were running around the house. Well, then boom, 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 boom. Whatever that noise was following them because the same windows were kind of upstairs. So it was following them. So I called Maureen in and we looked upstairs at the same time and she saw it better than me. She looked first. She saw it better than me, but I saw this little kid, saw its leg with this little black shoe run by from our room to Ray's room. Of course, you know, we both went flying upstairs. I thought, well, how did a stupid kid get in the house and what's he doing here? So we both, you know, ran as quick as we could upstairs. And the noises stopped. We couldn't see anything. So I was looking all over thinking there was a little kid up there. And Maureen said, I'm going to go from Ray's room through the closet to see if, you know, I can scare it out. Well, then I started thinking, my gosh, if this is a ghost, I'm not too sure I want to encounter it, you know. So I'm standing just outside my bedroom door, right by the stairs. I'm waiting for this kid or apparition, whatever it was, to come running out of the closet if Maureen scared it. And it didn't happen. And I'm standing there, and pretty soon Maureen came up behind me and touched me on the shoulder and said, I didn't see it, and it scared me, so I almost fell down the stairs.
Oh, I bet.
I was waiting for the thing to come out. So then we started having some serious discussion, and I said, you know what? This changes everything. Footsteps were one thing, you know, little things happening here and there are one thing, but, you know, actually seeing something, that's a whole new ballgame. So, you know, we discussed, you know, wanting to move. After our bathtub incident, right after our bathtub incident, I'd mentioned maybe we should move. And Maureen said, no, we shouldn't, you know, let's give it another chance. And unless something else happens, then we'll discuss it. Well, this happened, but it was a few years later. So I said, man, we need to move. We talked each other out of it at that point, and we didn't move. But I seriously thought about it. And that's when I became just convinced there wasn't any other explanation for it. I mean, there were other things that happened before that, but nothing visual except for the washing machine. So the wash machine lid would lift up on its own. If we were doing laundry, we'd go back in and the wash machine lid is up and it didn't wash. And that happened quite a few times throughout the whole course that we lived there. And actually Maureen and I, you know, we were the only, well, no, I think the girls are home, but we did an experiment. We did the laundry and we closed the laundry room door and we weren't out of each other's sight the whole time. And after 15 minutes, we went back in and the lid was up. So I was convinced there that, okay, something's going on. So that was my first. So I'm about 80% convinced before I saw the little kid running that something was going on. But one morning, Maureen was doing laundry and the lid was up. She was getting ready for work and the lid was up. And so she started yelling. She said, this is not funny. You need to stop it right now. And she was, you know, yelling quite loud. And from that point on, the lid never opened again.
Because it almost feels playful at times. So the little boy kind of makes sense. Like he's trying to get your attention. And then once he got reprimanded, it was like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it isn't fun anymore, right? Yeah, so he probably, you know, sauntered upstairs and went and hid in the closet. But one day after Ray got home from school, there was a little rubber ball and a little toy fire truck on her pillow. And she brought them down when we were eating dinner. And I thought she brought them from Grandma Grandma's house. She goes, no, it was just on the pillow. I actually still have the fire truck. It's right behind me. Little toy fire truck. So she had that. And but that was found on her pillow, like somebody had left it there. And Sherry didn't do it. And I didn't do it. And Maureen didn't do it. So I'm not too sure how it got there. Well, I am now. I'm sure how it got there. But I wasn't then, you know, but...
Little Jonathan.
Little Jonathan. And then one night, Ray was upstairs in bed, and Sherry was in bed, and Maureen and I were watching TV. And Ray started screaming, just like somebody was stabbing her, screaming. Oh. It was horrific. We went flying up there, and she was cowering in her bed, covered up with the blanket. The closet door was open. And she's cowering up there, just crying, hysterical. So we finally got her calmed down. Well, she told us that she heard a noise, and she looked over, and the closet door opened, and this boy stuck his head out and said, do you want to play with me?
Oh, wow.
So I grabbed her and took her downstairs and said, okay. So that's when we made up our mind. We're moving now. So now it is something is happening to the girls, you know. So now we've got to go because this isn't funny. Poor Ray was just scared to death. She moved downstairs. We had an extra room downstairs. She moved down there, and she liked that room because it didn't have a closet. That's what she said. I like this room. It doesn't have a closet.
She probably to this day is kind of a little freaked out by closets, like keep the closet door shut.
Believe it or not, that scared her. But she stayed with her mom all summer, that summer, and then decided to stay there and go to school there. So I had Sherry and Lynn had Ray. So it made me feel really bad because, yeah, you know, here I exposed the girls to this. You know, I was stupid and blind and, you know, that the house is haunted, but yet we lived there. So Maureen even said, yeah, it's time to go.
At any point while you were living there, because this is rural Michigan, I don't know how far you were from neighbors or a nearby town, but in small towns, people talk. Did it, at any point, did anybody say, hey, I've heard your house is haunted? Is that house haunted? I've heard stories. Did you hear some rumors?
Yes, actually from our babysitter, Heather. Before Maureen and I were married, Heather would come over in the summertime and watch the girls. So she was quite apprehensive on the phone when I told her where we lived. She lived down the road just a few miles, so she knew the house well. But she had told me in the interview when she came over and I was interviewing her and the girls were outside playing. She was all nervous and fidgety, and she said, asked me right out, I heard this house is haunted. Is it haunted? And of course, you know, that made me choke a little bit. And I said, no, I don't believe it's haunted. And I said, if it is haunted, though, what would you charge me? Would you charge me extra for watching the ghost? Just trying to make some humor out of it. Well, turns out she wasn't really afraid of it. You know, so I said, no, it's not haunted. And she heard people moved in and out, which they did. I had heard that people moved in and out. They wouldn't live there very long. And so people just attributed it because the house was haunted. I don't think they had any facts or anything to back them up. It's like, oh, it must be a haunted house. That's why nobody lives there. That kind of thing. And that's what I thought. I mean, this was the first few months that I lived there, you know, so nothing had happened. But as time went on, I came home from work and she was going to vacuum and she couldn't find the vacuum. And it's kind of a long story, but it's in the book. But it finally showed up. She went into she looked for it like from 10 in the morning. And then about 3 p.m, she went in the living room, and there it sat right in the middle of the living room in front of the TV. When I got there, you know, got home, she was fidgeting around, and I acted like it scared her and stuff. And, you know, so she'd moved the vacuum back into the laundry room. And I thought, well, Ray did it. You know, Ray moved it as a joke. So I called Ray downstairs and talking to her. And I said, hey, did you have a good time, blah, blah, blah. I said, did you see the vacuum cleaner? She goes, and so Ray was about 8, that's maybe 7.5, almost 8. She said, no, but we looked all over for it, but we couldn't find it. She goes, did you take it? And I said, no, honey, I didn't take it. So she went back upstairs, and then Heather and I went outside, and she was getting ready to leave. She said, how do you think that happened? And I said, I know what Maureen would say, but I'm not sure, you know, I believe it. And then she said, oh, so it is true. I go, there's nothing true. So Maureen had, unbeknownst to me, had talked to her the Thursday before and told her about the footsteps and stuff like that, because I guess Heather had heard some footsteps upstairs while she was babysitting, but didn't think much of it. Well, I thought, oh, God, so now she's going to quit. I'll never find another babysitter, because it is a small town, and they'll hear it's haunted. But Heather was actually fascinated by the whole thing. She said, that is so cool. She goes, that place is not scary, but it is so cool to hear the noises and things that are happening in there every once in a while. Like I said, not every day. You can go over a month or two or three and won't hear anything, and then something happens. So she was fascinated by it, and thankfully, she stayed, because if she would have left, I would have been very upset at Maureen for putting the haunted house thoughts in her brain.
Right. And the landlords, did you ever have a conversation with them about it?
Well, we did after we moved out, but while we lived there, after we saw the boy, they lived about a quarter mile or so down the road, same side of the street. So we would walk down there and pay him rent every month. So Maureen and I walked down there. This was after the boy incident. And I, you know, just chatting nonchalantly, hey, how do you like the house? And, you know, stuff like that. I said, hey, do you know, I said, were there any dead kids or no, any kids missing in there? He goes, no, why'd you find one? I can't remember exactly how I phrased it, but they go, no. And I said, but how about any kids like die in that house that you know? So he's curious why I'm asking. He goes, yeah, I did hear, you know, around the turn of the century or something, some kids died from influenza there, but that's all I know about it. He said, well, why are you asking? I said, I'm just curious, you know, just curious. It's an old house and, you know, just a nonchalant little conversation. Well, after we moved out, you know, we bought a house and we went back to visit them because we became pretty good friends. Went back to visit. And then I told him about what had gone on there and seeing the boy. And he said, I knew there was more to that story than just wondering if any kids had died there. And he said, now I know. But they said no, because they'd lived there for quite a few years until his parents died. And then they moved into the bigger farmhouse and then started renting that one out. But they never ever said anything like they heard anything strange or out of the ordinary, anything like that. But every once in a while, if we'd go down there and talk to him about stuff, he would ask me like, hey, have you been hearing any noises? You know, stuff like that. It's like, well, why would he ask me that? But we did have a rat and a possum in the attic once. So Maureen thought there was, you know, somebody in the attic. Well, it was a possum. I go, well, there you go.
It does feel possum. Paranormal when you hear something like that.
Yeah.
And it's almost as creepy as paranormal, knowing that you have possums and raccoons in your attic.
Possum in the attic, yeah. Hopefully it's not going to have his babies up there kind of thing.
Right.
The scariest thing, of course, was poor Ray. But she did move back, and she did sleep upstairs.
And interesting.
I thought she was dreaming. So at first, I thought she was dreaming. But, you know, we had seen the boy, so I thought, well, yeah, she probably wasn't dreaming. Sherry told me a story that Ray was wasn't sleeping. She was underneath her blanket writing a love note to her boyfriend. She had a flashlight. So she was underneath the blanket writing a love note. So she wasn't even sleeping when the door opened and a little boy popped out. I just realized, yeah, there's definitely something going on in the house. And we decided at that point we're going to move. But, you know, so it was, you know, middle of 1990. So the houses were expensive and the interest rates were crazy. So we were having a hard time finding something that we could afford. But, you know, I asked Ray, you know, do you want to stay here? She goes, yeah, I don't have any problem staying here. She said, but the next house you buy, try not to get a haunted one.
Good suggestion.
Yeah.
Buy a new house, did you feel any activities? Because I've always had this thing, like, I don't want anything ever to come home with me. Stay right where you're at. No. Don't come into my house.
No, I didn't have anything. That's when I started writing that journal, you know, writing the short story from the journal, you know, after we had moved. But interesting enough, well, a friend of mine, she's an author, Melanie Sue Bowles. I wrote the short story and I wrote it just so as a chronicle, just to keep for the kids or whatever. But I sent it to her. It's about 70 pages or something. And she said, you need to turn in this into a novel. So that was in probably 2010, maybe. And so I started working on that, turning my short story into a novel. So a lot of time had passed, but thankfully I, you know, wrote a lot of it down and I wrote that short story. So everything was, which helped my memory. And then talking to the girls and Maureen about different things. And Maureen's actually friends with Heather still to this day, talking about stuff. And so I can get enough to, you know, to do a novel. But as I was writing it, usually because I was working a lot, but I usually do it at night. So I'm in my little home office here writing on the laptop, you know, getting more and more into the story. Well, things started happening in this house. So this house was built in 2003. So things started happening in this house, but it was all water related. And all at the same time, when I got to the little boy part, writing that part, when I first started writing about seeing little boy, the water heater blew out. The washing machine quit. We have a irrigation pump, a well pump for irrigation. That went out and something else happened. So there were four water-related things that all happened within a week of each other as I'm writing this book.
It shouldn't be connected. Like,
it shouldn't be connected.
Those are very separate things.
Well, there I am again. It's just a coincidence, you know. So as I got to the ghost talking to Ray, something scared me. I think the dog came up behind me. It was like at midnight, scared the crap out of me when I was writing it. But now we didn't have anything after that. Sherry, she's a little more attuned to things like that, you know, so she's really interested in the paranormal. Ray, she's just quiet and conservative. She's not afraid of ghosts or anything like that. But they, all of them are just, you know, extremely pleased that they got to experience that, because what's the chance of it?
Because I know this happened with my family. We'd get together and there were a couple times that we just started talking about the house and some stories came out then that I didn't even know had happened to my siblings. I shared a couple of things that happened to me. They had no idea. So did that happen with you guys after you got to sharing stories as an adult? Did you hear some more that you hadn't heard?
Well, Maureen and I knew everything that happened to each other. There were a few things with Sherry, you know, after the fact. She told me that she thought the ghost's name was Jonathan, you know, and she would try to conjure it up. You know, there were a few other things, but she would be after school. She'd be home by herself. And even after the little incident of the, you know, backpack thing, it didn't scare her at all. So, yeah, there weren't too many stories. When Sherry became a teacher's age, she was working. Heather was a teacher then. And there was a fourth grade class. And she was talking to one of the students, and the student said, we're going to be moving away. Sherry thought, well, maybe, you know, Dad, what happened? Did your dad get transferred? She goes, no. He says, no. My mom doesn't like the house. And Sherry said, how come? She sees faces and hears noises. and things happen. And she goes, really? Where do you live? So we rattled off the address. That was, it was our house. She didn't push it. She goes, oh, well, that's kind of exciting. And then, of course, she when she got out of work, she called me right away. Dad, guess what?
Oh, you absolutely. Know,
yeah, guess what happened? Well, Maureen and I were trying to buy that house for the all the time we lived there until after the boy thing. And then after we thought about it and Ray wasn't afraid, Sherry loved it there. We just absolutely loved it there. We really tried to buy it. But the landlords weren't ready to sell it because they were going to have their son, if one of the sons get married, live there. So then that's when we, you know, bought the house in town. We were in about 2 miles, 2.5 miles from town anyway. But yeah, we wanted to buy it. And they eventually did sell it. So somebody else lives there. But yeah, we really wanted to buy it. Sherry thought about buying it when it was up for sale. But they had just purchased the house, so they weren't able to do it. She was very bummed because she wanted to buy and live in it.
Again. I find that so interesting that after all those things that happened, you were still drawn to the house.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody had a strong connection to the house.
It was beautiful there. I mean, it was never really, except for the, you know, the little boy running, which scared me only because Maureen came up behind me. But, you know, the Ray incident, the little boy, you know, want to play incident, you know, that was very scary for her. It was scary for me. It was interesting for me that, to me that, you know, she actually saw something. Like I say, I thought at first she was probably dreaming, but that went away pretty quickly, that thought. And I thought, you know, there's no way she's lying about that. And she's no way she was dreaming, as scared as she was, afraid as she was, and panicking. No. Something really happened, which was intriguing to me. And I was hoping that something like that would happen to me and to see if I could carry on some type of conversation. Like, hey, what's your name? You know, Jonathan, that would have freaked me out. But they would have been very interesting, but it didn't matter. If I was home by myself and going, okay, give me a sign, you know, just knock on the door or something, nothing would happen at all, ever. There was never anything at all.
This kind of story is my favorite haunted house sort of story, because the ones that you see in the movies that are just over the top, blood coming from the walls, that's just theater and that's just not real. But it's these things that happen that you can't explain that are happening again and again.
Right.
That's what makes me believe in this, because that's the way it happened when I was a kid. And the book is really good. It's very interesting, and it's not that over-the-top blood and gore and scary stuff. It just feels like your house was more of a little boy spirit that was still there.
Poltergeist kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was writing the novel, I thought, well, nobody's going to be, it's more of a day-to-day, you know, the mundane life of a young family living in a haunted house, basically, you know, because most of it is just day-to-day activities with a little bit of paranormal thrown in for fun. I mean, that's the way I saw it, but I lived it, you know, so I probably see it from a different light, but I didn't think anybody'd ever be interested in it. And I thought, well, if it gets published, then I can, you know, then the girls can have it and then other relatives can have it. And, you know, that's as far as I thought it would go. And that's kind of what I was, you know, hoping for, because when I, you know, told Maureen, this is going to be out in the world now, this is going to be in the world. Everybody's going to know about it. How are they going to react?
Right. Are they going to judge us? Are we crazy?
Right. Are we crazy? And that's why I wanted nothing to be said while we lived there. Small town, that stuff flies around. But the main reason is because we didn't own the house. We were renting it. And I didn't want anything to get around where Cap and Ronnie weren't able to rent it again because they heard it was haunted. That was my biggest fear, because I didn't, at that time, I didn't know how long, you know, our plan was to live there a year or two and we're going to, you know, buy a house after we found out we'd never be able to buy that house. You know, so we're going to live there a year or two and then buy a house and it's going to be up for rent again. But if it comes up for rent and it's all over town that that house is haunted, they might not be able to rent it. So that was a big fear as well as protecting, you know, the girls from it. But at that time, it was just all rumor and innuendo, and Maureen thinks this and I think that, but it had no basis in fact.
Do you still live in that area?
No. The girls do. Yeah, we live in Florida now.
So Cap and Ronnie, are they still around? Were they able to read the book?
I talked to him in, I wrote, I gave, it was in 2015, maybe. I printed off some stuff that had to do with them directly, you know, that mentioned them, talking to them, like the first couple chapters and things like that, and had them read it to make sure that they were okay with it. Because if they weren't, then I would just skip all of that. And they said, no, that's fine. And I haven't talked to them since. So they were a little older, about 20 years older than me. So I don't know if they're still around or not.
So after this whole experience, starting as on the scale, skeptic to believer, where would you fall now?
Oh, I'm a believer. I'm a believer in that house, for sure.
And if it can happen there, it can happen other places.
It could happen other places, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm a believer now, for certain. So, because I saw it firsthand. Mm-hmm. And not just myself. So we had some friends over, and they had a three-year-old, Brian. At the bottom, you know, at the bottom of the stairs, he walked into the dining room. We were playing cards, the four of his parents and Maureen and I. And he was standing at the bottom of the stairs. He was looking up and he was waving. So his mother said, "What are you waving at?" And he said, "The little boy."
Oh.
She said, "What little boy?" "The little boy in the rocking chair." So, of course, we got up and looked. Sure enough, right at the top of the stairs, there's Ray's old little rocking chair rocking back and forth. No boy in it. We went upstairs and we went up. Cal and I went up there and I moved the chair back and looked around and wasn't any boy up there. So we came back downstairs and Brian said, "Where'd the boy go?" So his dad says, "Oh, can't put him to bed." "Oh, okay. Can I go up and tell him good night?" "Nope, he's sleeping." You know, so that's how Cal, we didn't see it. None of us saw the boy, but he did. So, and this little boy had no idea about any boy there and that the house was haunted, anything. He was just waving upstairs. And he's the one who said there's a little boy. There was no conversation about a boy. Maureen and I never brought it up to anybody about anything. I believe that he saw somebody and the rocking chair was there and the chair was rocking, mm-hmm. slowing down like somebody got out of it. But yeah, it was there. So Cal saw that. He saw the chair rocking, and then he thought maybe it was a trick and I had a string or something. I was doing it on purpose, but no, he was a believer then.
And I would guess that you didn't have a rocking chair just sitting at the top of the steps. It seems like That's a correct. Weird place.
Yeah. So yeah, we didn't have it sitting there. So it moved from the corner to the top of the step. So this little boy must have known Brian was there.
I think that kids... that wall between the two for kids is not really as defined as it is as you get
it's
older.
Thinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's thinner. There is the picture of buckwheat on the table. I explained it in the book that Maureen was leaving to go to the store and it was in the springtime and she went outside and buckwheat was on the picnic table and there was a crocus in a potted, you know, potted crocus with a little bit of snow around the pot and buckwheat standing on the table. So at that time, you know, it's like the 135 or 110 Instamatic camera or whatever. So she had one more picture. So she took a picture of that just because she thought it was cool. And then a week later, we got the pictures back. And I'm just looking at it. I go, "What's this buckwheat pictures?" And so she said, "Yeah, I was going to the store and I thought there's buckwheat. I'll go get the camera, take a picture, take the film in." Well, in the picture, in the background, is the laundry room. And you can see inside the laundry room windows. So I'm looking at this picture, and I gave it to Maureen, and I said, "What do you see in that picture?" She looked at it, and she goes, "Well, I see buckwheat." And then suddenly she said, "Oh, my God." And I go, "Exactly." So in the laundry room window stands little Jonathan. Some people see it. Some people throw it down and go, oh my God. But yeah, you can see a boy there and he's got his hair part in the middle, wearing little coveralls, looking out of the window.
I'm telling you, the book is really interesting. It's a great read. I would recommend it to anybody. So
thank you.
You can get it wherever books are sold, and you can find it super easy on Amazon.
Yeah, super easy on Amazon. Actually, it's hitting available in bookstores at the end of this month. It'll be available there. You know, it's a long, arduous process. So,
oh, I bet.
Yeah, so, you know, it is on Amazon, and it'll be available in bookstores. They're not going to carry it unless they start selling a lot, but you can order it from any bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the easiest way to buy books, I swear. I still like going to the bookstore and looking at books, but it's really easy. When you need a new book, just go download one. Kent, thank you so much. This was a really interesting conversation.
Thank you, Carol.
I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.
And that wraps up our conversation with Kent J. Wolf. Find his book, Ghost Theories, Raising a Family in a Haunted House, on Amazon and other booksellers. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.